Hello and welcome to this week's Any Given Game Day with Mike Carson. Just the two of us this week. It's me, Kieran O'Connor, joined by Mike. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, really sad to see John go, only temporarily, of course.
Time out, John. Time
That
out, Mike.
cork is
Time out, Mike.
cork.
Time out. Time out, Mike. I'm just
Yeah.
kidding. I'm actually just reinterpreting how the Miami Dolphins play. Sorry. You can keep going.
I mean, cork is a killer, isn't it? You go in there and you just never come out, or so it seems with
Yes.
John.
John is in Cork, and we had some diary mishaps, so John is not here this week. But on that incredibly well-timed joke, Mike, have you ever seen someone call it? So for those of you who don't know what happened at the start of the Miami Dolphins game against the Bills, on the before the clock had started, they got called with a false start, which wasn't, in their defense, was not a fault. It was a really bad call. And then, as they kind of argued the point and lined up again with certain confusions, they decided to call a timeout. So they called a timeout with 15 minutes left in the first quarter. Have you ever seen that before?
No. The only thing I could imagine doing is like you wind up with 11, you have 10 guys on the field, but I've never seen that at the start of the game. The guys who are starting usually know that they're starting and they're ready to go
Yeah.
out there. But well, what does it say toward the long-term employment status of those involved?
Well, I mean, they obviously did pull off a bit of a, excuse me, a bit of a shock by winning.
Yeah.
But what was three takeaways from the Bills?
Yeah. I mean, and some of them were really the equivalent of unforced errors in tennis. It wasn't like they were being outplayed, and they but credit to Miami because they got the big play offense going early, which is mostly Waddle at that point, and a little bit of Achane, and then as you hit the fourth quarter, the Bills really trying hard to get back in the game. Of course, they're getting tired, more and more tired, in the heat of Miami. And Achane is getting more and more fresh the more he runs. And it was a bad combination for them. Good win, obviously, for Miami, although I don't think it helps them particularly. But there'll be an action Olé in Madrid this weekend, which
They
is
will indeed.
actually one I really like to watch and see what the crowd is like in Madrid, because Spain, and I realize that Barcelona is Catalonia, not Spain, if you're there especially. And I love Barcelona. I spent an awful lot of time working there before and during the Olympics, and then with the Barcelona Dragons of NFL Europe and World League. I really love it, and I like Madrid a lot. I was in Madrid last year doing ice hockey, strangely enough. And the Spanish fan has never really rallied toward American football. And the Spanish fan is also far more traditional minded. I mean, far more so, say, than English fans, football supporters. Football comes first, basketball's a close second, relatively close second. Roller hockey is bigger in Spain than American football is. So I'm really going to be curious to see how attractive this is, or how interested this is for them as an attraction, as opposed to, say, a sporting event per se.
Yeah,
But
and the
boy, I would
previous
love to
places were.
be
Yeah,
there.
you would love to be there. The previous places had history. Germany obviously had history. The UK had history. Ireland, slight history, obviously, with Steelers having been here before and the college game and stuff like that. Whereas it's Brazil, massive market, always has been for NFL. So those places made sense, I suppose. This one is the most intriguing to see how it gets on.
Yeah, and Ireland had the long-term television exposure via British television before it
Yeah.
went on to Irish TV. So like I said, I'm hugely curious, and I'd love for it to do well, obviously. I'd love to be there, but there we go.
Next time. Would you like to know a stat that the Vikings created this weekend?
Yes, why not?
The Minnesota Vikings are the first team to have s more than seven false starts in a home game since the
Oh,
2021 season.
yeah,
I was going to say, obviously, that before has happened.
Yeah, it was six at the point where I last heard it. You know, I must have missed it because I was watching Red Zone during that time frame. Seven's not bad when you're at home in a closed stadium. I think it was closed. I think the roof was closed for this one. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
It's pretty.
Maybe sore throat for JJ McCarthy, maybe.
The jury's out with him. With a lot of people, I've heard some people say he's the word fraud is being used. But let's not go
He
down
had
that
his
road just yet.
moments. He had his moments, but
Clearly.
he definitely had what you could call a rookie game.
What about the stuff going on in New York, Mike? It used to be. I remember that the coaches were really. Never really fired mid-season. Like, no matter how bad they were doing, they would just be like, all right, we'll fire him the day after the season ends. You know, this kind of this culling that happens. But more and more, we do see teams now deciding very football style to European football to just be like, yeah, you're gone.
Yeah, well, I love the old saying, and I think it came from baseball originally. But you know, there's every coach is an interim coach, and there's always been. I would say it was probably one, sometimes maybe two per season in mid-season or during the season, and generally around the. But they would try to do it around the bye week. That would be a good time to make a change if you were going to. The problem with changing an NFL coach in midseason is obvious. A system, putting in a system is so complicated. And you have to have the assistants you want who are going to teach your system or coach your system. And you can't really do that even with an extra 1 week, plus the coach you probably would want to replace your coach is working somewhere. There are very few guys out there who are watching on TV, unless they're consciously taking a year off. So generally what happens is you do this to give your team a kick in the butt, put in a coach who either is more relaxed where the players don't like a coach who's too intense or vice versa, or who just simply will change things by not being your head coach. And this was a classic case of just one time too many. I mean, how many weeks in a row can you watch Brian D Daboll waving his hands on the sideline in disgust, slapping the air because he's, and they gave up, they collapsed again. And that is character coaching. That is, I always like to avoid that kind of, the team that wants it more will win and all that kind of stuff that we talk about. And when you watch Irish rugby, and it doesn't matter whether your coach has a brain or not, as long as he can inspire his men forward and play their hearts out for their
That's a Munster thing, and
province.
I'm a Leinster fan, so I'm going to ignore that one. Which is
And
yeah, which do you think is least effective than sacking a coach mid-season or having player-only meetings?
last, not least, says the grammarian. It depends on who has player-only meetings. Depend on which player is calling the meetings. For example, if Stefon Diggs calls a player-only meeting with the Patriots, you don't know whether he's actually exhorting his guys to play more consistently together, or whether he's asking if anybody wants to adopt one of the kids that he's going to have in the next few weeks. This is almost a better story than New York.
I mean, yeah, the man is, I mean, he's got a
Not
lot of time
content
in his
with
hands, so it would seem.
Cardi D. He now has two. And I think he's got four by different women, which is
There's four on
way.
the way, I believe. It's four.
Yeah, which is pretty good going. I mean, I think I said last week if JJ McCarthy had that completion percentage, the Vikings probably would have won that game. But I remember when he was in Minnesota, and one of the players did a little meme for YouTube asking which player on the team his teammate would least like his sister to marry, and they all said Stephon Diggs. It wasn't like they scratched their beards and thought about it. Immediately, they all said Stephon Diggs. So now, if you were to say to me, which guy do you want to coach your team? Would you least like to have coach your sister's team? I would have said Brian Daboll right away.
Look, haters gonna hate. That's what I say. Me, Stefan, good-looking men who get around a bit. We
Yeah,
get these
great
things happens
player.
to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So
So,
who would you have appointed as the interim head coach?
of New York
The
Giants.
Giants. Yeah. Of the New York foot, the New Jersey football Giants.
Well, Bill Belichick should be out of a job soon enough. So.
It's funny. I was thinking the same thing, but but you can't do that. The payoff, there must be a payoff to due to the I think it's 10 million due to the University of North Carolina.
If they don't let him go,
But
the
give him a
university,
chance. He's only a kid. Give him a chance, you know.
that team are due to open the season next summer in Dublin. Like Dublin hosts the opening round of college games. Bill Belichick is due to be there. It'd be interesting to see if he is still in charge next season.
It would be very interesting. It'd be very interesting if I can get over there to cover that one too, because I'm one of the few people in that room who can get up there and say, Mike Carlson from the Any Given Game Day podcast. Bill say, "Hi, Mike."
Here we go on the show. Speaking of the Patriots in a roundabout kind of way, they're Thursday night football. Now, I'm going to give you the odds and stuff, and then I'm going to bring it back to something. So the
It's
Jets
okay.
are 11 to 2. The Patriots are 1 to 8. The spread is 12 and a half, of course, and the over under is 43.5. Now, on Sunday, some of you out there will be familiar with Polymarket, which is a kind of a it's a kind of an exchange market that runs in the States that circumvents some of the rules that states have. So certain states like Texas and California, where sportsbook betting is still illegal, Polymarket kind of is able to operate. And it tends to take a lot of crypto. So the markets tend to be incredibly liquid and incredibly move around a lot. Drake May went favorite for the MVP during
Wow.
Sunday. And I can tell you that as of right now, he is 3 to 1 joint favorite along with Matt Stafford for MVP. I'm just trying to find the market again. But first off, I'll read them all out when I do. What do you think about Drake May moving into such esteem that he's not just in the conversation anymore, Mike? He at one point people were like, he is the guy.
It's interesting because I'm not entirely sold on the Patriots. The games take on a, they, there's a certain similarity in most of their games, which includes a slow defensive start. The middle two quarters, you get some pretty good offense, but they leave a lot of points on the board. And then they seem to fall apart a bit toward the end and let teams back in to the game's close. Now they played against that better against Tampa, but also the difference in that game was they won that game on big plays, a couple of which were beautiful and well-executed May throws, but a couple of which were also 50-plus yard runs by Trayvon Henderson. I think the Patriots are going to. They're going to finish with a pretty good record. If you go through their schedule and you pack out the games now, we knew at the beginning of the season they had a weak schedule. So, 12-5, 13-4 even are not impossible for them to finish, which would make a good case for a quarterback to be the MVP. And I'm not making any case that anyone else on the team should be the MVP because he's obviously the biggest difference since last year. But I'm a little surprised that this isn't the kind of season. A lot of these quarterbacks seem to me to be in the same level of MVP-ness. Allen is having what for him is a very off year, which we've already mentioned in passing. Mahomes is coming back into stride, and I still think within a couple more weeks, we'll probably be the MVP favorite. Stafford does. I don't differentiate what Stafford's done from a couple of other guys. Although, again, not taking any credit away from him, but we're talking best player in the league. But I'm looking at like Jonathan Taylor as having to be a serious contender in this MVP battle, and wondering why, if Drake May is the overwhelming favorite and Stafford is second, why Daniel Jones isn't in there. And I know why, because he's Daniel Jones, but also looking at the results plus the quarterback, you would think there'd be more there. But I think Taylor would be my favorite right now for MVP.
I'll just let you know. So on Betfair, Matthew Stafford and Drake May are 3-1 joint favorites. Jonathan Taylor is next on the list, actually, 5-1. So he has moved quite significantly in the last few weeks, and I mean he has scored. I actually have him in our fantasy league, and I can tell you that he is a points machine. Mahomes 13-2, Josh Allen 7-1, Sam Darnold 9-1. It's bigger prize than the rest. You mentioned Daniel Jones. I mean, Daniel Jones is 66-1 to be MVP. I mean, he's literally like have what you want. I'm sure there is bigger than 66-1 out there
Well,
because when he's
he's not going to be it. If
yeah,
anyone's going to
no.
come from the Colts and be the MVP, it would be Taylor. The problem with running backs is unless they're really consistently used as receivers as well, it's too easy to shut them down, or most of them down, in a couple of games. And when it comes to what, and if it's a big game, then they lose a lot of traction. And the advantage Taylor has, like Saquon Barkley last year, is the pass catching ability,
Yeah, he
to be
does.
a
Yeah,
threat in both ways.
it's. I wonder if because it is obviously a what have you done for me lately and a kind of thing, and there can be recency biases that the Colts are actually going to buy this week when his price is basically like, really shrunk, and suddenly maybe, Mahomes has a good game at the weekend, Josh Allen has a good game at the weekend. Maybe Drake May has a good game at the weekend, and suddenly everyone's like, oh, no, we're just back to like it's going to be a quarterback again. But again, it's about finishing strong. Well, we were week 11 this week. So he's got a bye week, and then he'll have 6 or 7 games to kind of seal it. He could do that. He could do that. He's averaging like a touchdown. Well, he scored 3 touchdowns in 3 games this season, I'm pretty sure.
And with Drake May, I think he's done a remarkable job. I mean, it shows you what a good coordinator can do. A coordinator knows what he's doing. And he doesn't have an overpowering offensive line the way the Colts do, for example. And he doesn't have a top set of receivers the way the Rams do, for example. That it may be arguable whether a top or not, but one of them's Puka, and that makes a huge difference. I mean, if they draft and coach well for next season, May could turn out to be the superstar quarterback of the last couple of years' drafts. There's still room for a lot of improvement, not just in May, but in the supporting cast.
Well, we might see some of that coming this Thursday. Now, you mentioned Henderson, obviously. I believe Rhamondre Stevenson is training, but I believe the word is he will probably sit out Thursday's game with it coming so soon. So it's likely that Henderson will start again. The Patriots are 1-8. The Jets are 11-2. 12.5 spread. 43.5 is the over under. Like, you can't see the Jets doing much, can you?
Well, it's weird because the spread has increased since opening. It opened at 11.5, and that's what I still had it on today. Because what happens is you say to yourself first, that's a big spread for a team like the Patriots to cover. And then, of course, the Jets are coming off what for them was a great performance. That was based on two kick returns, which broke that game open back to back, a kickoff return for a touchdown and then a punt return for a touchdown. And they're not going to duplicate that against a team with a, and then also against a team that has an offense, which Cleveland doesn't. So I don't see the Jets actually being contenders in here. And it's almost tempting to take the Patriots and still give the points. I would think that the Patriots, anything under 10, I would probably be happy taking the Patriots. And I think the extra points here are probably gravy to the Jets, which means going with the dog would probably be the best,
Yeah, it just doesn't it feel
the better
like
choice.
it feels like the Patriots have just about got it done. Like we mentioned them against the Falcons. What they were like, they were 4.5 points, I think, that day, and but they were miles out in front and tried to lose it.
Yeah,
They
exactly.
kind of folded a bit, as you
That's a
mentioned, against
great
the
point.
Bucs. It feels like that 12.5 could be really in play, especially like if the Patriots are 8 points up, 9 points up, with not
Yeah,
long left to go on the clock. Like, they're not going to be bothered.
that's exactly the way I'm thinking about it. And the Jets, the Jets played a fairly good defensive game last week, even though it was the special teams what won it. And that's interesting too, because you trade away your two best defensive players and you still play a pretty good defensive game. It reminds us that, with rare exceptions, it's a team game. A real shutdown corner can do a lot. A real pass rusher, a stone pass rusher like Myles Garrett, can do a lot. A guy in the middle can control things. You think of Aaron Donald, and make his line mates better. But it's still a team game, and it's still something that you can run on. I always say when I'm advising people, I might take a flutter one way or the other on this, because it's kind of fun. But I wouldn't advise anybody to think of it as a best bet by any means.
Okay. We mentioned earlier on that is this the last of the international games? I think it is, isn't it?
It
There's one
is,
coming up.
yes, it
Yeah.
is.
The Washington Commanders are at the Miami Dolphins. Washington Commanders are 5-4. The Miami Dolphins are 8-13. 2.5 is the spread. 47.5 is the over under. We should touch actually on the game, because the international game that happened, which was obviously the Colts Falcons, because it was good. It was a
Yeah.
really entertaining game. Like, Germany got, went overtime, and the Falcons kind of messed it up a little bit. I think the Colts will be happy to have got there with the win.
Yeah. Yeah, and they covered because of the overtime, the game, well, they actually had covered already by a point. So it went over, which was nice for many of us. But the thing that I did not like, going back to Tuesday, did you watch it? Last Thursday, I mean. Did you watch last Thursday night's game?
I
The
watched the
Raiders
highlights the
in
next
Denver.
the I did, yes,
There were
yes.
highlights. They
There
dared
was
to
more
put
highlights than
highlights
on
out.
Monday Night Football.
The only person who should have been in the highlight film was the referee. They had 22 penalties in that for 181 yards. I mean, it's a boring offense that the Denver run. It's an incompetent offense that the Raiders run, and all you saw were flags flying. It was insane. And the Germans get the game they deserve, because the Germans have been great NFL followers. NFL Europe, they have the semi-professional European Foot League, League of American Football, whatever they call it, European Professional Football League. And they deserve a game like that. It also goes to show you don't need to have two top teams, because that's what the British fans always complain about. We don't have any, good teams there to have a good game of football. And it was a great game of football. Thus, thereby proving in one sense, in Indy's worth as a contender.
Sure. Well, what about this? So 5-4 to Commanders, the Dolphins are 8-13, 2.5 spread, 47.5 is the over. And I suppose this game has took on a kind of a different meaning, in that both teams are slightly becoming what Miami are also rans in the season. I think the Washington season,
Yeah.
is as soon as their as soon as Jaden Daniels went down, their season kind of effectively ended.
Yeah.
I don't know if Trump will be at this one. I'll have to double check, but you never know.
I don't think Trump carries any magic fairy dust for the commies. I'm surprised he doesn't used my nickname for them. To me, the bet on this is fairly straightforward. With Mariota at quarterback, I think Miami can handle that at 2.5. Washington's probably a better defensive team, than they saw last week in Buffalo. Although Buffalo just didn't seem to be playing, really, really hard and wasn't able to stop the run. The advantage Miami usually enjoys in fourth quarters comes from the heat. And I wonder if the Bernabeu is going to be as hot as Miami is, and whether that will give them that fourth quarter automatically. I haven't read. We it's, This is why I miss John, because John would have the weather report from
Exactly.
Madrid, standing by. But even so, 2.5 points for Washington is being generous to Miami, I think, and I'd take the Dolphins.
Sunday in Madrid is due to be 13 degrees Celsius, that is Mike, with light rain that
That's
will
see
probably
that's
last all day. So that's not going to be.
no, I think John would take Washington then.
It's winter weather, my friend. That is winter. Weather. The 6 o'clock game. We said Bucks Bills. Am I right in that when we were saying what we're going to talk about?
Yeah, I think that's the best looking game of the bunch. Two divisional favorites at the very least, before the season started. It was hard to think of, why the Bucs offense wasn't firing better against the New England defense. Although it's been pointed out to me both anecdotally and statistically that the Patriots start their defense slow. I mentioned this at the top of the teams do well against the Patriots in the first quarter, but then when the teams have gone through what you might call their set plays, the 15 play script or whatever that most teams will use early, the Patriots adjust better to the offense than the teams do in terms of adjusting to the Patriots defense. And they do get beat for occasional long plays, but they hold things in for most of the game. And then in the fourth quarter, things tend to break down again. So that I think is what happened to Tampa, but they just couldn't put it together. And Christian Gonzalez had a monster game at cornerback for New England, and I don't think they're going to be getting much of that from Buffalo. So up there in Buffalo, Mayfield, I think you get a bounce back by the Bills. And much as I fear Mayfield in terms of the breakdown time and the time when the game is close, being what we assume Josh Allen is, or for the last 2 years or more, I think Buffalo at home is still probably the better bet, and I think the over 49 is probably still the bet, unless the weather's really bad up in Buffalo. We're starting to get the time
Stop
where
making me check
you
weather. The over's 47.5 at the moment on Betfair. However, I would
know, oh,
say
47. Okay, it's gone down. It
it's
has
gone
gone
down,
down then.
but it's 4 to 5 right now. So you might be able to get something a little bit cheekier if you shop around. It is. I'm just looking at alternatives as well. You can get over 48.5, 70 to 20. No, I'd wait on that one. Now that one might move or have a little look around the markets there on Odds Checker. Half past nine, Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos. 1 to 2 about the Chiefs. The Broncos 13-day, 3.5 is the spread. 44.5 is the over-under. Broncos have been quite strong at home. And as we mentioned
42.5,
before,
did you say?
44.5 for the over-under on this
Yeah,
year.
that's okay. Yeah.
Broncos have been strong at home. And they've been eking games out, as we've mentioned a couple of times, they've shown in the fourth quarter, where they seem to be kind of more used to the altitude, and you kind of see defensive players taking oxygen and things like that. So it's not massively surprising that the Chiefs are 1 to 2, but I thought the 3.5 was generous, shall we say.
Yeah. I mean that's my best bet is the Chiefs this week. I will let you know
Ooh,
now.
je m'appelle.
Andy, je m'appelle, tu t'appelles
Je m'appelle
quoi?
Value. You think the Chiefs
Andy coming off a
3.5?
bye.
Oh, they're off a bye,
Andy
of
coming
course,
off a bye is notoriously good planning. I don't think Denver has actually beaten much, any good teams, any really dangerous teams along the way. And as you said, they're eking games out. They're very good at dragging you down to their level, and then coming on strong toward the end of games, which again, when they're at home, is quite easy to do. So I just think they're not going to get dragged down. This is it's kind of like it's not a bounce back, obviously, because like I think Buffalo will bounce back. But Andy coming off a bye is notoriously good. He's got a really overwhelmingly successful record, and that's kind of good enough for me. I don't even know if the over's in play in this one. From that's what the Broncos do well is drag you down and slow your offense down. They
Until the
pressure
fourth
you a
quarter,
lot.
when it
Yeah,
blows up like in Denver every time.
they pressure you a lot, and nobody's better against pressure than Mahomes. There are some people who are equally good, I think. So yeah. So again, I'm fairly confident in this. My confidence really, when we get to the results of last week's games, my confidence is really misplaced. But then again, it has been for the last 7 years. So.
Let us end with a quick look before we do best bets at the Sunday Night Football. Detroit Lions against the
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles. Lions are 6-5. The Eagles are 4-6. This should be a great game. 2.5 spread. 46.5 is the over under. Did you see, Mike, that the Eagles? I mean, one of the tush pushes that they did. It was the most blatant false start that you will ever
Was that the
see.
first one?
Yeah, the one where like the two lads went before he'd spiked the ball, just it was so blatantly obvious that you're like, how are they not refereeing this better?
It looked like they were choreographing something. It was kind of like you half the team's going to go one way and half the team's going to go the other way. And I don't know is the answer to that, because you would think, given all the discussion, if not controversy, over the tush push, that the referees would be keeping an incredibly close eye, because the best way to end something, end a play or a strategy, a tactic that a team uses, is to referee it to death. And they call some crazy stuff. I mean, every week it seems to just get worse and worse. And plays that you think are easy calls, you see the flags go. Do you think it's an easy call against one team? And then the six guys get in the huddle and think, can we call something on the other team? Because they just scored. And it's as if they're saying, we want the Jets to win. And so I just don't get that. And I think the tush push's time may well come. I mean, the first thing I would do is not, you just have to call the end of forward progress at some point. Now, with the Eagles at the goal line and on short, they do keep moving. That's the one thing, but you see the people using variations of the tush push and they get stopped, and then the momentum comes in from the guys who are joining the pile like it's a ruck. In rugby. And I would be quick whistling those tush push plays as a starter. It was a strange game with the Packers, and now coming off a
You mean
short
to say
week.
poor game with the Packers? Because it was,
Yeah, the Packers were not. I think LaFleur is slowly tush pushing his way toward the line where you get fired at the end of the
Well,
season.
we've said we thought that we've gone like through it, that we thought they were a bit pretender. I said last week the Packers were dog shit on the record for saying they were dog shit. I think that they obviously heard me because they're actually, I don't know if you saw, but they were so easy to read. That the
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles defense was calling out what the plays were before they'd snapped the ball, and they didn't change them. They're able to say exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah. And they're wasting Josh Jacobs, as far as I'm concerned, in this kind of offense. You should probably be catching the ball more. Barkley didn't catch a lot, but he caught one big one. which was useful. And Shipley's back, and he should be catching the ball, and AJ Brown should be catching the ball more. It's very strange how both these teams appear to kind of be misusing, not playing to their strengths, put it that way, or misusing the strengths, some of the strengths that they do have. And for that reason, and the fact that they're on the short week, I have a sneaky liking of Detroit with the points in this. It's, I'd like it a little bit more if it was closer to a touchdown, but I can see Detroit keeping this one close and making some plays in there. The one thing that impressed me most about the Eagles in this game was that their secondary seemed to be much better, which is Howie Roseman acquiring. The guy is the best general manager in the league. He manipulates, it's like he plays the rest of the league brilliantly to get what he wants and strengthen his team. So, I think this may be the game of the week in my mind, because Detroit's coming off a bad week for themselves. With that loss, they 2 weeks ago, I should say, because they had the big win against Washington last week. I think Detroit, I would take them as 4.5, getting 4.5 points.
Do you know who else Eagles have and they're not using as Tank Bigsby? That's another player that
I
they're.
th I like yeah I know I think that the problem is they don't want to overrun Barkley inside. Their line isn't getting the inside openings the way they did last year. The inside zone isn't working as well as it did. The Barkley's trying, is more effective running outside. And I think Shipley gives them a pass catching dimension, and an explosive dimension. And I like Bigsby. I was surprised Jacksonville got rid of him. The guy who surprised AJ Dillon, it doesn't surprise me necessarily they don't use him, but they got him to be the big power back to use inside. And maybe the fact that he's not done anything is that they've only used him a little bit, and they've used him in exactly the role you would expect them to use him in, which makes it easier for defenses to see what's coming. But I just wish they would open the game up, although then they're not playing to Jalen Hurts's strength. Which
Well, like,
is
is this
not
the thing that he can't throw? Because he can. Like, I mean, we've
it's not
seen
that he
him.
can't it's not that he can't throw, because he can, but he's better than Michael Vick in that sense. And when you talk about running quarterbacks, and Vick had many of the same strengths, which one of which was a very strong arm. He's got more touch deep than Vick did, but he's not consistent on the short throws enough. He was in this game a bit, but they only got 10 points out of it. And that's why I think they just need to open things up. But yeah, that would be, if you're going to do a sneaky bet, what's the odds? What are the odds on
Money line
Detroit on this one?
on Detroit. They are 6-5. Eagles are 4-6. 2.5 is a spread. That
Yeah,
might
I
be
might
a
even.
shop around as well kind of job. You could get, I'd say, the 7-4 floating around.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, best bets, Mike. How are we going?
Well, I actually announced mine going down the line, because it was like I was thinking about it. For you listening in, we got a quick start this week, trying to find a time when we could get John out of cork.
Port or
And me,
Cork? Both
and
could be
me,
true. We don't know.
and me out of the sick bay at the same time, and it just didn't quite work. So I was kind of going through, and then, as I went through, I settled on Kansas City. I also kind of like San Francisco against Arizona. But if you want that one, you can have that. John has called it in as usual. That guy really just calls it in,
Phones it in, yeah.
why he likes the over in Washington, Miami, which is sitting at 40, still 47.5, was it? Or has it gone up?
What games again? Sorry, it's the
Washington,
Washington game,
Miami,
wasn't it?
the game in Madrid.
47, yeah.
Yeah, four. So John likes the over 47.5 in Madrid. Mucho puntos.
Yeah, I'm going to go. We do have to do last week as well, but I will end
Oh,
with.
sorry, yes.
I'll give mine, which is over in
Yeah.
the Seattle game, Seattle Seahawks at the Rams, 48.5. I mean, the Seahawks twice now have scored enough points in the first quarter of a game to essentially seal the over and have a click by halftime twice in the last 6 weeks, including on Sunday. They are a shock and awe team. They
Shock
destroy
and
you.
awe.
Shock and awe. They'll just
All
destroy you
right.
in the first 20 minutes. And
So, but
yeah, the
these are
Rams are
not
fully
this.
capable.
This is the Seattle Seahawks, not the Seal Attle Seahawks. I like Seattle in this. They're getting 2.5. I would take Seattle, I think, with the 2.5, and I think
Yeah,
Seattle's
I think so
defense
too, yeah.
is actually pretty good. Now, last week, as it turned out, Kieran liked the Rams. He was all over the Rams, Niners going under. Talk about shock and awe, under 49.5, and they went over to up to 68. That puts Kieran at 6-4,
I would point out as
and
well that I
I.
actually changed my mind on that on the game day. But anyway, because I had it in an
I.
accumulator for over, so I feel really bad about that now.
Oh, okay. And I had Tampa beating New England, and giving them points, which was dumb on both counts. So I dropped to 6-4. And the invisible Mr. Belf went over on Tampa, New England at 48.5, and the game was 51. So he won.
Oh,
He's
I can't
now
believe he won.
7-3. And the leader, John Belf, at 7-3. Kieran and I are at 6-4.
I've lost three now in a row. That's really bad. That's really bad. I have to stem this tide. It's like a fantasy football team.
I think we're getting some kind of jinx from Belf,
That's probably it. That's probably it.
without his lucky beard to rub.
Well, you two have a nice beard as well, Mike, if you're talking about beards. Mike has a beard these days, people.
That's true. Yeah, it's Movember for Mike.
And that is it. Look, enjoy the last of the international games. Those of you who are traveling, should be a few listeners traveling over to Spain for that. We have the Thanksgiving games coming up, and then we're heading upwards towards the end of the season and on towards the playoffs. So a lot to look forward to. John will be joining us every week for that. It'll be the 3-0 every single
What do you,
Wednesday, we hope.
if he can stay out of the Magic Kingdom?
For me,
And
have you got last
I
words, Mike?
highly, yeah, I highly recommend the Tyson Bornemisza Museum in Madrid, opposite the Prado, usually less crowded than the Prado, and as opposed to the wonderful classic collection the Prado has, maybe arguably the best in the world. A great modern collection, well worth seeing. Recommend it highly.
And I recommend Drown the Shamrock, the Irish bar over there. Enjoy if you are going. From me, Kieran O'Connor, and from Mike Carlson, we'll see you next week. Best luck. Bye for now.